April 3rd, 2017, it's a Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you. shake our hips and save our tips and take a trip to Florida.
Live from Pedro Show. Very strange show. April 3, but we actually did last 2 hours a couple days ago.
Time traveling.
There's our guest, good people. That's Kelly Hogan from the Flat Five. And in fact, we started with John Coltrane doing Focus on Sanity, which is something I have to apply to myself constantly. And then Florida from the Flat Five off their album. Kelly Hogan, your earliest musical memory, please.
I do believe it was my mom singing to me in my crib or my little bed, my little person bed. She would sing that song about when cotton balls get rotten, you can't pick very much cotton. The cotton fields back home. And CCR did that one. And then also she liked to play Tom Jones and Van Morrison records while she cleaned the house. So
that's what you remember. Where was this?
This was in Decatur, Georgia, right outside Atlanta, where I'm from.
Okay.
In our apartment.
So you were like little. You were baby.
I was a squirt. My mom said even before I could really talk in a sentence, I remembered whole songs off the radio, so.
But you also heard her singing.
Yeah, yeah. My first memory is her singing to me, like, you know, putting me to bed and stuff.
And why I bring that up is because your preferred instrument was singing.
Yep, she ruined me. She messed me up good, so.
Right, and that's all you had in the house was really singers. You didn't have people played instruments.
No, nobody played an instrument. We just played records.
But you ended up getting an instrument for the pad.
For the pad? For what do you mean?
Well, you started trading babysitting for...
Oh, yeah, that was later on. I traded some babysitting for this woman who was teaching me some rudimentary, gave me some piano lessons.
But you had one in the pad.
We did at that time. That was later on, like when I was in sixth grade or seventh grade.
And nobody really played it.
No, nobody really played it. We just kind of, my mom got it from somebody and we put it in the kitchen and it was this honking giant upright kind of, some of the keys didn't work, but nobody played it. And my dad was a cop and he would work night shift and sleep during the day. So I wasn't allowed to play it after school. And then my stepmom would come home and she didn't want me to play it while she was watching TV. So it was a little difficult to get my reps in.
But you ended up playing on it, right?
I did, yeah. Mostly, I got a few piano lessons, and then we'd pick out songs by ear, you know, like Lean on Me and just some stuff that was on the radio.
And what about at school?
At school, I got in chorus. I was super shy, but I got in chorus in eighth grade, I guess. And after that, it just took off like crazy. I had a really good instructor, Miss Killian, who I'm still friends with today, and she gave me a solo in the first concert, and after that I sang. I haven't shut up since then. I've been singing since then, all the time, in school, and then later.
Yeah. Okay, so when do you do your first stuff without school, like with friends?
Well, I started hanging out in downtown Atlanta with what at the time I thought they were a bunch of old geezers, but they were like 31 and they had a little jazz band on the side, and I was really getting into Billie Holiday and Sarah Vaughan records at home, and so I sat in with them. I started sitting in with them kind of on the fly because it was in clubs and I was only 17, so about like the fall of my senior year in high school, and I've been singing in clubs ever since then. So
you're talking about Sarah Vaughan, Billie Holiday. I should have asked you, what was the first record you bought for yourself?
For myself? Oh, it was an 8-track, and it was Donnie Osmond.
Not Osmond Brothers, but Donnie Osmond.
Yeah, Donnie Osmond. So, but I like the Osmond Brothers. I got those 8-tracks as birthday presents, and I used some birthday money. I was probably in first grade. My first concert I ever saw was the Osmond Brothers at Atlanta Stadium in 71, or 72, I guess. It was June of 72. I always like harmony, man. Those Osmond Brothers, they can whip it out.
Yeah, and dancing.
Yeah, they do that crazy dancing. And Crazy steps. Horses is a jam, man. Crazy Horses is awesome.
Oh, that's more rock and roll one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just always jealous of people that came from musical families, you know. I always wished that I had people to sit around and harmonize with.
But you ended up moving closer to Gary, where the Jackson 5 were from.
Well, I live in Chicago, so yeah, super close to Gary. And Chicago, everybody's from here, man. It's crazy. So much good music.
Could you tell when you were little there was some kind of similarity between Osmond's and Jackson 5?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was, you know, and you know, you get to realize how kind of manufactured they were, especially the radio hits. And so, yeah, I mean, the Osmonds kind of came after the Jackson 5 ascended to power, I guess. And so they were kind of like the white Jackson 5. So, oh, yeah, all of that stuff.
But, I remember the brother and the sister had their own variety show. They kind of split off from the family.
Yeah, they did. Donnie and Marie had their own jam.
Yeah,
they'd open on ice skates for some reason. Like, that was the first part of their show was ice skating. I don't understand.
Well,
I've watched
Salt Lake City, it gets cold. I had to play there one. Well, we had Olympics there.
Right.
Years ago. And we played outside on top of an ice rink. It was incredibly cold. And the people watching it, it was ridiculous. I think in the 20s.
Oh,
my fingers
man.
Were like dowels. Yeah, I was laughing. I couldn't believe that we were doing
that. Yeah, how could you stay in tune or play or anything? Yeah.
Okay, so you're going and singing with these guys. When do you make a band with someone your own age?
Like a real band? Like
fake band, I don't know, just...
You know what I mean. Yeah, what I feel like is my first band to me. I was working at an airport And all I wanted to be in a band, but I was only meeting pilots. So I quit that job and started working in a record store. And then within a few weeks, I met my friend Bill Taft, and he and I started a band called the Jody Grind. And he was doing this variety night called Evening with the Garbage Man, like every Monday in Atlanta. And I kind of started showing up and sitting in with them. And then that sort of became the Jody Grind. So that's my first. That was when I was 23 or something like that.
23. What about this song? This is Your Night.
It's yours. This is your night. 结婚啊做人事，重要房子上海人这是缺钞事，啥地方人不接俺那上海市，啥地方地方过俺那海巴市。
5. This is your night. We're going to learn about them in the next hour. Then Petro, you just was talking about her doing throughout. And then some music from China. I just got back from first time playing in China and visiting that land. And Bowie with A New Day, PK-14, Future Mystery. And that's a band, the only one I knew ahead of the time. Then I met a lot of other ones like Top Four Circus with Shanghai, Bozzy, Walking Dick from the Punkins, got to play with them. Round Eye, big band. That's got a lot of, let's see, what's their word? Lao Wai for Foreigner. Okay, but there's Gil and Chach. They helped put together the whole trip. And then Gil's older band, Goshen, with the China people. Meet the Saturday. And the Street Kill Strange Animals, play with them in Beijing. Paranoid Dancer. And then, out of Hamburg, Germany, a new band, Macrobat, Tofu, live. And finally, from Tokyo, Tenko. She's a lady who's just now singing. She used to be wild guitar, then she gave it all up just for voice. And in Horto Infinito, in the Infinite Garden, she supports her kids by making tofu. Ain't that a trip? It's been the first hour, only hour really, the April 3rd, 2017 Dishwap Pedro show, because hour two and three are already done on D-Boo's birthday a couple days ago.
We're in outer space.
April 1st, 2017, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Show, making money selling women's soap. I guess I could wake up with a lot of dough. Money I got selling children dope. But I would rather wake up in your arms.
stove. Aunt Jemima looking down at me. I guess I could wake up in an almond grove. 50,000 nuts up in a tree.
Why From Pedro Show. We started the second hour off with Almond Grove by the Flat Five. David Gerard after that with Rendered by Sunrise. Everyone Is Dirty with Melty Face. And finally, D.E.R. and Kaleidoscope is the tune. Okay, you heard about your earlier journey in music and Jody Grind and all that, so tell me about the Flat Five. How did this prod start?
Flat Five started because Scott Legan in the band, he and I got throwed together for a show where my guitar player had to cancel kind of at the last minute. And Scott's brother, Chris, and his wife, Heather McAdams, they put on these variety shows. And so I called Chris to cancel, and he was like, well, my brother Scott's right here, and let me put him on the phone and see if you guys can work something out. So Scott and I got thrown together, and he came over to my house a couple days later, and we practiced all these songs for about an hour, and we just clicked with harmonies when we first started playing. And then it was like a snowball. Kind of a couple years later, we added my friend Nora O'Connor, who I sang with in Andrew Bird's band, and we did a gospel trio. And then we kind of added Casey McDonough. Scott knew Casey McDonough, the bass player. And then we just added a drummer. Our first drummer was Gerald Dowd. And then it was just for one show. I do a lot of stuff for the heck of it, and it was just supposed to be for one show. So that's how we kind of snowballed into the Flat Five.
And some of these people in the Flat Five, can you let the listeners know where they're from?
Sure. Scott Legan, he's a freak. I say he's not even fit to deliver pizza. He just needs to do music. That's all he's good for. And he plays everything. He's from Peoria, Illinois. And then Nora O'Connor, she's from Chicago. And she sings. She's like a harmony ninja. She sings with everybody, Andrew Bird and Iron and Wine. And we kind of sing with a bunch of different people. We call ourselves Lady Parts, and we know all the parts. And then Casey McDonough, he's from the south side of Chicago, too, and he's kind of the secret, quiet wizard of the band. Everybody kind of focuses on Scott Legan because he's pretty dynamic on stage, but Casey knows all. He knows all the notes. He knows everything about what's going on. And then our current drummer is Alex Hall, and he has a really cool studio here in Chicago called Reliable, and he's an amazing drummer. But it's crazy. Everybody else in the band plays a lot of different things, like instruments, and they all can kind of switch around. And I just sing and play tambourine, so I'm the one that brings the snacks.
Okay, what about Scott's brother?
That's Scott's older brother, Chris Legan. He's the one who wrote all the songs on the record. He's been writing songs. Go ahead.
Yeah. His role, he's kind of like the, he provides the material. Now, when you started, it was you and his brother having to fill in a slot on an open mic thing, right?
Yeah, it was a variety show, and it was all of these songs by Blood Relation bands, like Everly Brothers and the Delmores and all these different things. So it was, when I got off the phone with him, I told my roommate at the time, I'm like, okay, this is either going to fly or it's going to, crash horribly, because those tight harmonies, I know from singing harmony, sometimes it just doesn't work. It works on paper, it works with math, but it just doesn't fly. But when Scott and I met, it clicked. And then I already knew about his brother, Chris Legan, like I said, because...
Yeah, when do you make the transition from doing the covers of Brothers and then actually getting involved with Brothers? I mean, he writes the songs, but he doesn't play in the band?
He doesn't play in the band. We frequently have him on the bill. He's amazing to see live. And
with his own act.
Yeah, his own thing. He's incredibly prolific, and he just puts out his stuff himself, just kind of homemade things. I first met him, he and his wife Heather had a record store in Chicago, and he used to sell his cassettes at the cash register, and I bought a lot of his cassettes. And he's Chris Legan, I'll have to send you some info on him. He's pretty amazing. And in Chicago, he's kind of an underground legend. Like, if you're around Chicago, you know who he is. His songs are they're just unique.
He wrote this song we're going to play, She's Only Five?
Yes. And it has lyrics, but we just did it kind of instrumental.
Right, right. Because
the melody is so beautiful.
Okay, let's listen.
Okay.
steps in or has the guts to call us up.
Watt from Pedro Show, we heard Flat Five doing the instrumental version of She's Only Five. But do you guys do the version with the words?
No, we don't. And we haven't done She's Only Five live ever. We kind of keep that as like the little secret off the record. Scott has all these ideas that he's strong about, and he said we should not do one live and people get the record. And so no, we haven't ever done it live. Chris Legan does it live sometimes with the words.
Okay, and I guess that's his right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a story about this little kid, I think, that lived next door to them, and she used to like for him to swing him on the swing set. So that's what the words are about.
Oh, okay.
It's about a nice friendship.
Okay, I'm into that. We have Flying Hair. They got a brand new album and Tantrum. And Drenge with We Can Do What We Want. Mute Point with Binoculars. Frenzy from Erotic Billion and His Heretics. Drummer Man for Cellular de Mayanayo and Trea Belfi. There's a couple of projects of his. Adrift, that's two different words. But Swifter, and then BBS with Butcher Note. Not Butcher's Note, but Butcher Note. Yeah, I got to play last night with Graham Lewis, a Wire. And the young guy they got to take Bruce's place, Matt. And they, Graham Lewis asked me to find a drummer, so I got Bob Lee from the Black Gang. And it was called Fit It. Two basses, drummer, and a guitar. And they had a bunch of pedals, both the guitar and the bass, Graham Lewis. And they let him down. One little patch cable, came out of the crowd to help. But he's a big hero of mine, you know. Wire had a huge influence on Minuteman. And it's D. Boone's birthday today. And so I was kind of thinking of that. Flat Five, big influences.
Oh, my gosh. Well, obviously, Chris Legan. And we love Captain Beefheart. We love Sun Ra. We love the Free Design.
You lived in Chicago for a while.
Right, definitely. There's a lot of kick-ass Sun Ra stuff that happened in Chicago.
Yeah, they found some stuff of his, right?
Exactly, yeah.
He's some incredible. Friends of mine, you know, going back to when he was a boy, he was composing.
Sonny
Blount from Birmingham. Right,
Birmingham.
I was going to save that for hour three, but fucked up.
We can talk about Birmingham twice.
I know, but you got the tune, so you know. In a perfect world, I could have made a sugui, you know.
Yeah, sugui, right. Yeah, I blew the sugui for sure.
Other influences? I mean, I know you don't want to speak for the band, but you know these people.
Sure. We like all the kinds of those like songs that sound pink but are kind of black on the, like, oh, that doesn't make sense. Like, these songs sound like bubblegum or cotton candy, but the arrangements are very intense and complicated and hard, and we like to be challenged like that. So that's why I mentioned the Free Design is kind of like that. I don't know if you know their stuff, the Dedrick family.
You're dealing with duality.
Yeah. We like songs like that sound shiny but are kind of dark on the inside. Yeah. So we like that. And Fifth Dimension, Spanky and Our Gang. I'm a big fan of this jazz player, Bob DeRoe, and he did a lot of vocal arrangements that were really cool for Spanky and Our Gang in the 60s. And he worked with a lyricist who I really love called Fran Landesman. She was an amazing jazz lyricist in the 50s and 60s. And Bob DeRoe and Fran Landesman worked together a lot with her lyrics and his music and his arrangements. So we like that.
Can I throw a name out there?
I wish you would.
Ima Sumac.
Oh, sure.
I got to see her, but Raymond took me to see her like four or five times.
Really?
One time she blew the PA up at the Roosevelt Hotel on Sunset Boulevard.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. No, I play in a band with Nico Case, singer Nico Case, and we adore Ema Sumac. So.
Wow. Okay. Those 10 inches from the 50s.
Sure. Super like, crazy. And their whole, like, the fingernails.
Inca Princess.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Huge range. I was just wondering, because you seem adventurous like that, and you did see Captain Beefheart, so I was thinking, Ema Sumac, maybe.
Completely. No, we'll take a dare. We'll take a musical dare. That's one thing we like when
Where's Echo from? She's Canadian?
I'm not sure. But yeah, she just flipped her name backwards, right? It used to be Amy Camus, and then she wanted to be Ema Sumac. I like when somebody wakes up one day.
I heard that was a total joke, though. She actually was Inca lady.
She really was?
Yeah. And her husband, who made all the music, that was legitimate, and just other people made up this thing.
I like it. A good miss. A miss is good.
We're at the end of the April 1st, 2017 edition of Wild Pedro Show. Actually, it's the second hour of the March 28th. Hold tight for hour three. April 1st, 2017. It's the third hour of the March 28th. Wild from Pedro Show.
I don't mind. allá pa' aquí. Se mueve la mañana y huele el mes de abril. ¿Me tienes en jaque? ¿Cuándo va a pasar? Estoy en la puerta de mi casa.
Same.
For Pedro show. Started the third hour off with what was supposed to be my son Rob Sugui. But you know what? You brought in Chi-Town and that's why.
Sure.
Yeah, so it wasn't me totally fucking up. You just got, you know, reality on the dealio. And you kind of manhandled or sister handled that way. And but there's a connection, people. Kelly Hogan, Birmingham. Sonny Blount, Sun Ra, Chicago, Flat Five. It's kind of a little crux there.
Yeah,
I mean, Nexus, that's a word.
Yeah, Nexus, yeah. The longer you stay alive, everything's going to touch everything else. That's what I'm finding out.
Okay, so. Kevin Bacon. He's out there right
now. Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, remember
right.
I told you about that band we played with? Uncle Bob Touched Me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Kind of awkward name.
Sounds. Yeah, it sounds kind of icky.
And we played a whole bunch of stuff from Spain, a label called Love Monk. You know about this label? It's great.
I don't, but I love it.
Capo with Fat Dog Mendoza, Gecko Turner, not Necco Case.
Right.
Oi Muchacha, Ginferno with Sahara Billy, Pajaro Sunrise, with the tune Il Sorpasso, so maybe Italiano, huh? Mm-hmm. Not El, Il.
Right, okay,
like
yeah.
Like Il Duce. Okay, and finally, Pyramid Blue with Julius Coleman Havas. Great, great label, Love Monk.
Kind of,
there's been a thing in Spain always about garage for some reason, but they are starting to get in the groove and stuff and experimental. Interesting about their music scene. There's bands like Familia Miranda. People pushing it. I had the Blood Quartet on. That has one of the dudes from Mars. God, he's in his 70s now.
Wow.
I know. I was talking to Graham Lewis, you know, the young man. Bruce is 71.
That's some goals. I love
you know,
that.
Yeah. Like me and... I guess 5 months now, I'm 60. I mean, you don't think about these things. I think maybe if you did too much, you might get scared and not do anything.
That's, yeah, I try to
So what about plans for Flat Five? It's
well,
mainly doing, right? You told me you were doing only one gig a year for a while.
We were when we started, kind of just because the first gig was a fluke, and
sure.
We just did it for fun, and then... I think we did it around the holidays in December, and then December rolled around again, and we were like, let's do another show. And so for maybe the first 4 or 5 years or so, because this was 12 years ago, when we did just one show a year, just kind of for fun, and also because all of us were playing, and you know, we're always on the road with a bunch of other bands.
Oh, there's a bunch of scratch in there.
Yeah, schedule-wise. So, and then we loved it so much, we made a commitment to play quarterly, you know, spring, summer, fall, and winter. So
four times a year.
Yeah, we did. We did four shows, and people were asking us about making a record, but we weren't quite sure what we would do.
Cause you're talking Robin Nan and Bloodshot?
Not necessarily them. Mostly people that came to our shows, which Robin Nan would come to our shows sometimes. But we kind of did. We did our record all by ourselves.
Yeah.
We decided. We had already covered Scott Legan's brother, Chris Legan. We had covered a bunch of his songs in our sets. And then we decided, let's make a record of all Chris Legan songs. One, because they kick ass. And two, because we just want more people to know about and hear his songs. So we wave his free flag like a big
guilty
flag.
Yeah, there's a bunch of scratching. Kelly, I think your hand is on the mic or some shit.
Oh, okay. That's weird.
I hear a bunch of scratching. Yeah.
Okay.
You dig his song. You know, he's the prime motivator of this project. Without being active participant, it's kind of like Tony, you know, Chip and Tony, the Dill guys. They've always played together. Now this new Ford Maddox Ford, Tony just writes songs. He doesn't perform with the band.
Yeah,
this is the closest parallel I know. Now, what about another record?
We've already started working on a second record, and we just. After, I guess, a couple weeks ago, we're like, let's make another record and let's do it all of Chris Legan's songs again because, like, he's so prolific and we like his songs and it seems to work like he's not in the band, but he is in the band. Like, we're the body and he's inside and we're moving him around from place to place.
Charlie McCarthy, maybe he's got the little hand. If Georgie ever caught somebody picking their ass, he'd go, hand puppet. Some torch meal. We're going to play this song. This is one of these ironic duality danglers, right? I Could Fall in Love with You.
Yeah. It's a Chris Legan songs have a pretty good sense of humor, kind of a black sense of humor.
Well, let's hear it.
As long as you don't wear yellow, as long as you don't wear blue. As long as you don't wear orange, I could fall in love with you. As long as you don't wear silver, as long as you don't wear green, as long as you don't wear purple, I could treat you like a queen. Just any girl.
the city, all of the steel, the agency code. They want my prints, the frozen luster, the hidden games, the finger pocket. The king is talking behind the golden doors. He gets the air, it's ugly loud. Middle of the air, voices here behind the golden doors. Electric currents name the brains that swim them all, but need more time behind the golden doors. Behind the golden doors. Behind the golden doors.
We'll be right back. from the time you told me the truth was when you said goodbye. The only time you told the truth was when you said goodbye. The only time you told the truth was when you said goodbye. Goodbye.
Walk for Fever Show, last music for this edition. It's Kelly Hogan, the guest. I Could Fall in Love with You, the Flat Five. Exterminators after that, first and last, as Don Bowles with Chris Kirkwood, Meat Puppets. I get to go do some gigs with them. I'll be in your Chicago town in May.
Oh, maybe I'll be here.
I think it's Lincoln, it's the Shubas people.
Oh, yeah, Lincoln Hall. Yeah. Okay.
I heard it's bad sound, though.
You know, I haven't been there, but I've heard that the time on stage is not so fulfilling, but people that go see shows there seem to like it.
Shubas is really neat to play.
I love Shubas. Yeah. You should play at the Hideout. Have you ever played at the Hideout?
I'm opening up. It's Meat Puppets, you know, so.
I played at
the Hideout. I'm not the rudder man. I'm more the keel.
All right.
Okay.
Duly noted. I'll come see that show.
And then more than the Kirkwood brothers, Elmo's on board, so his father and son.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played with him
Doug Starm's son on drums. What's his name? Shannon.
Doug Salm's son?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in the band when I played with him in Columbia, Missouri. That was really amazing.
I'm going to get to play there this tour. I haven't been there in a while, Columbia.
Oh, yeah, I love that place. The Blue Note,
Golden
I guess.
Golden Doors by... Yeah. Go
that
way back.
That big theater. Mm-hmm.
No, before that, it was on the Ring Road.
Oh, yeah. I only know Blue Note.
No. What was his name? King? Don? Rick King? Or... I bossed that place, I can't remember, but before it was in that theater downtown, it was on the Ring Road.
Oh, okay.
I played there as a Minuteman. I wore a Halloween mask I found on Halloween that was too small. My face crammed into this little, had a big M on the forehead, so we christened it Methamphetamine Man.
Meth Man.
Fucked
okay.
up. It was fucked up. I couldn't breathe, my face. But I love Halloween so much, I put up with it the whole gig. It's the only day all year we admit we're wearing costumes.
Yeah.
Guy by Voices, Golden Doors, from the 100th album. It's Bob Pollard. It's not another, it's one thing. By Conformity Contortion. LHS, that's Chacho. He helped bring me to China last week. Faulty Bridge, I think Greg Ginn might be guesting guitar on there. Ardo after that, that's Bruno from Bologna, who recorded the second Il Sogno di Marinaio album, A Soft Disease, the new band he's in. Grandpa of Ghosts, Joe Carducci's a longtime Chicago guy in his younger days. Their new double album, song Our Reflections. Layman with Succulents. La Pop Apocalyptique by Seven, the Radics out of Lyon, France. And finally, Ted Kaine with The Truth. Part two. So, off the air, we were talking about the next Flat Five album. It's being done. It's underway as we speak, and it's not going to take 2 years like the first album had to because people were predisposed.
We hope not. We hope not. And now our drummer owns the studio where we record now. He bought it from the other fella, so it's a little easier. We can kind of... if we need to come in at 3 in the morning or, you know, 10 in the morning, and just do it whenever we can. But we're going to try. We're going to try to make it faster.
No pressure from what? Because, like Orson Welles said in one of his last incredible performances for, I think it was the Masson Brothers, you know, screw on top, two-buck chuck, no wine before it's time. Notice the pregnant pause there. Well, look, if somebody young was getting in this racket, what would be the advice you would give them?
I always like to say, I don't know, stay afraid. Kind of, I like, which means kind of, I try to do things that challenge me that I don't think I know how to do. Like, I'm always learning things. I always tell people, you got to say yes to a lot of stuff, even if you think it might suck or you don't know how to do it or you might suck, but and then you'll learn. And yeah, it might, there's some sucking out there, but then you learn from that. But
find out where the wall is by pushing against it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, my friend Bill from Jody Grind, he was my favorite guitar player. And then one day he put down the guitar, picked up a cornet, and I asked him, you know, Bill, how come you don't play guitar anymore? And he always talked really slow. He still does. He's like, well, I know how to do that. So he just wanted to pick up something.
That's great, really great advice. I love that.
And yeah, he's like,
Kelly Hogan, I want to thank you so much for being on the show and bearing with my lame ass and helping me get it together so we could deliver this.
We had some time travel. I enjoyed it very much. Okay. Thanks for having me on your show.
April 1st, D Boone's B Day, 2007 edition, La for Pedro show, actually last 2 hours of March 28th. People, keep your powder dry.